Thank you. Thank you so much. Hope you know how honored and excited I am to be with you this morning, and thank you for coming out on a Sunday morning to build your faith. You know, I was joking with the church last night. I said, the funny thing is, this is like my third or fourth time to get to minister at this church, and every single time I come, Pastor Joel leaves. So I have still never met him. And back in last year in June, my daughter graduated from high school, and Pastor Joel and Miss Pepe sent her a graduation gift. And my daughter said, "Is Pastor Joel Sims black?" And I said, "What makes you say that?" And she said, "I don't know. For some reason, I picture him to be a black man. Is he black?" And I said, "Well, honestly, I don't know, because I've never met him." But I just found out last night he's not black. I saw the video. No, but I think I need to put that on my vision board, Hope. One day I'm going to meet Pastor Joel Sims. No, but I'm just so honored that he trusts me with his pulpit and to get to speak into your life this morning. And so I just believe that today you're going to leave with some clarity and some action steps to apply this year so that you come to the end of this year saying, this has been the most amazing year of my life. You ready? Well, you know, one time I heard somebody describe the game of football as 60,000 people who desperately need exercise, watching 22 men who desperately need rest. They said, but the game of football, it's highly indicative of life itself. Most people watch from the sidelines. Very few people get off the bleachers and get in the game, right? But I believe you are in the game or you wouldn't come out on a Sunday morning. Make yourself get up and come to church. But I also believe it's going to take a lot of drive to stay in the game. It's going to take a lot of ambition, a lot of motivation to stay focused and to stay committed to your dreams and goals, right? Well, that's what I want to teach you this morning is how to develop drive in your life. And you know, I like to compare it to a locomotive. Do you know the toughest part about a train is getting it started? You know, a massive locomotive can be prevented from moving one inch by putting little blocks of wood in front of the wheels. But once that train gets up to full speed, not even a steel-reinforced concrete wall 5 feet thick can stop it, right? Well, see, that's what can happen in your life when you develop the ambition, the motivation, the discipline, and the drive to see your dreams fulfilled. I believe there's no force from hell. There's no small-minded person around you that can stop you from achieving your dreams, right? So you ready for this? Okay, if you're taking notes, I have a little acronym for the word drive. And so let's start out with the D. The D stands for a decision. Of course, everything in life begins with a decision on your part. And the kind of decision I'm talking about is a decision to take 100% responsibility for your life. That means you have nobody to blame for anything in your life. You take 100% responsibility for where you are. And you say, I'm responsible for my health, my wealth, my debt, my success, my failures, my achievements, my career. I'm the one responsible for where I am in life. And that's what it starts with, right? Not pointing the finger at anybody else, but just saying, it's up to me. In fact, Zig Ziglar, you know, he was one of the great motivators. He said when he was first learning, you know, about success, he was struggling and he went to a conference and he heard this motivational speaker say, he said, you are where you are because that's exactly where you chose to be. He said, I was broke, in debt, and down in the dumps. But he said it came through loud and clear that I was where I was and what I was because of me, because of my choices. But he started making destiny decisions to turn his life around. Well, you know, Jim Rohn, he was one of the great motivators. He said there's actually certain emotions that can lead us to make a change in our lives. One of those emotions is the word disgust. Now, when I first heard that, I thought disgust, that usually doesn't, you know, motivate us to change. But do you know that being disgusted with yourself can actually serve as vision and momentum to get you to change? You know, for example, seeing a picture of yourself overweight, that can be enough disgust to say, that's it. I'm not living like this anymore. I'm making a change. I'm making a decision, right? Or, you know, looking at your bank account online and seeing that you're coming up with $7 at the end of the month. That can be enough disgust to say, I've had it. I'm not going to live another day of my life like this. Or, you know, being at a restaurant with your friends and maybe your credit card's declined in front of your friends. That can be enough to discuss to say, I'm making a decision. This is the year my finances are changing. So disgust is just what we reach when we're tired of being ashamed, embarrassed, humiliated with some part of our lives, and we say, I'm making a change, right? Well, you know, I was reading a story about a guy named Tim who, he said he grew up middle class. He had five brothers, one sister. He said when he was 11 years old, his dad was killed in a tragic car accident. Well, once he lost his father, he said he just started acting out on all this pent-up anger. And so all through high school, all through college, he struggled. He started using drugs. And then he said he started selling drugs. He was arrested, convicted, and sent to prison. Well, he said while he was in prison, he had one of those wake-up moments where he just began to realize, I've landed myself in prison because of my choices. I have nobody to blame. It's not because of my dad. I'm here because of the choices I made. So he said he just started reading books to try to improve himself. As he's reading these books, he started getting ideas. And he thought, well, I'm going to start having prison talent shows, and I'll start, you know, featuring some of our talent. And then he said, I'm going to be the MC of the night. Well, as he started MCing the night, he recognized that he just had this natural gift for telling jokes. Well, after he got released from prison, he thought, I'm going to pursue this. So he got involved in acting. Well, Disney came to him and said, we want to give you an opportunity to be in a film. And he said he turned that idea down because he had his own idea to have a series about a handyman on TV. That man was Tim Allen. Now listen to this. Tim Allen said, 13 years after being released from prison, he was a star in the top TV program in America. He said he had a leading role in a major motion picture. Remember the Santa Claus? And then he had a New York Times number one best-selling book. He said, I went from drug pusher to box office millionaire because I made a decision. He made a destiny decision to turn his life around. So what would happen if you said, this is it. I'm making a decision that I am not going to repeat in 2016 what I did in 2015. I'm going to get serious about the dreams and the goals that God's put in my heart. I believe you could turn your life around, don't you? So it starts with a decision. The R in drive stands for a routine. It stands for a routine. You know, you may have heard this phrase that people are rewarded in public for what they practice in private, right? Have you ever heard champions don't become champions in the ring? They're merely recognized there, right? So people are rewarded in public for what they practice in private. I remember hearing this phrase that God can't use you publicly until you've gotten victory privately, right? With nobody watching. And so I was sharing in the first service that one of the things that changed my life years ago was, you know, I was just kind of in a rut in my life. My marriage was falling apart. I had no dreams, no goals. I just went to work, went home, went to work, went home. And I just, everything was just a repeat. Nothing about my life was progressing. And I just made this one little decision to start listening to a faith-building message every day. And my goal was to do it for 21 days. Because, you know, psychologists say, do something consistently for 21 days and you can break an old habit and start a new one, right? So I said, okay, 21 days, that's my goal. I got a little post-it note. I put it on my bathroom mirror and it said, push play. And so I got a CD player, went to my parents' house. I stole a bunch of their CDs, went back to my house. And that first morning, I go in there to brush my teeth. I looked on the mirror and it said, push play. Oh yeah, push play. So I pushed it and I started listening to the word. Well, the next day, I saw the post-it again. I pushed play. Well, at the end of 21 days, I said, I'm going to do a whole month. At the end of that month, I said, I'm going to do 2 months. Well, that was in 2002, and I haven't stopped. This morning, I was listening to Joyce Meyer while I'm getting ready. But here's what I heard during that season. While I'm doing that 21-day habit, I'm putting more mascara on and another tube of mascara on. All of a sudden, I heard John Maxwell make this statement. He said, if I could come to your house and watch you for 24 hours, I could tell whether or not you're going to be a success or a failure. He said, you pick the day, but let me watch you from the moment you wake up till you go to bed that night. Just by observing what you do on a daily basis, I can tell if you're going to get closer to your dreams or further from them. He said, the reason I say this is the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. So if you were to just adopt a few little habits this year in your daily routine, just make it a part of your life, I'm convinced your entire life can change. So like I said, people are rewarded in public for what they practice in private. When I got disgusted with myself, I changed my routine. And when I changed my routine, it changed my whole life. You know, now I love to study successful people like Michael Jordan. I like to read stories about people who've achieved great dreams. And, you know, I teach a lot at success conferences. And the cool thing is everything I teach, it comes straight from the Word of God. But people like Michael Jordan, you know, at the peak of his career, Tony Robbins interviewed him, and he said, Michael, what is it about you that sets you apart from everybody else? He says, is it just natural ability or God-given skill? Michael Jordan said, it's my routine. He said, I expect more out of myself every day. He said, I'm not competing with other people. I'm competing with myself. Well, he has a routine, right? The most successful people in the world have routines. I mean, you look at people like Tiger Woods, obviously. Tiger Woods, he said that his vision was to be the best golfer that ever lived. That's a pretty big vision. But you can't have a vision without a routine to back it up. So Tiger Woods started lifting weights back when golfers didn't lift weights. And then he changed his golf swing. You don't change your swing when you're doing pretty good. But people started modeling his routine, and look where he is today, right? So if you've got a vision for your life, you have to back it up with a routine. Well, somebody sent me this, and I thought it was pretty interesting. It was from Entrepreneur Magazine, and it was on the habits of the wealthiest people in the world versus the habits of poor people. And I thought this was pretty cool because successful people have successful habits, right? So if we were to just take on a few of their habits, then we could achieve greater success, right? I mean, I'm smarter than I look, right? So they sent me this article, Entrepreneur Magazine, and this is how they defined it. They did research, and they said in order to define, you know, draw a line on wealthy versus poor, this is what they defined as someone being wealthy. Someone earning at least $160,000 and having at least $3.2 million in assets. They defined poor as someone earning under $30,000 a year and having less than $5,000 in assets. So they said, let's just see, do wealthy people have certain habits that poor people don't have? And I don't like calling it poor people, but I'm just doing this for the sake of this magazine, okay? They said, how many wake up 3 or more hours before they go to work? 44% of the wealthy, 3% of the poor. They said, how many listen to audio teaching during their commute to the office? 63% of the wealthy, 5% of the poor. How many read for 30 minutes or more every day? 88% of the wealthy, 2% of the poor. How many exercise 4 days a week? 76% of the wealthy, 23% of the poor. How many watch reality TV? 7% of the wealthy, 78% of the poor. But then they said, how many believe good habits create opportunities? 84% of the wealthy, 4% of the poor. So wealthy people believe that our habits are leading us to opportunities. So what would happen if we just said, you know what? I can do that. I can listen to a message every morning. I got to get ready anyway. And I don't know about you, but it takes a really long time to look like this. So that's why my faith is so strong, because every day, you know. But could you imagine if you listened to just like right now, you came to church this morning. Your faith is stronger today than it was yesterday. All because you got up, came to church, faith comes by hearing, right? Could you imagine if you listened to a message like you're hearing right now every day for 21 days, do you think your faith would be stronger? Could you imagine doing that for 3 months? Your faith would be a lot stronger, wouldn't it? The secret of our future is hidden in our daily routine. You know, they say the average American drives 30 minutes to work and 30 minutes back home every single day. So after doing that for 5 years, that's 1,250 hours in your car, or the equivalent of a college education. just by listening to a motivational message on your way to work, on your way home. On your way to work, on your way home. And you know, I've told stories about your pastor all over the world, how when he first took over for the church, you know, when things were dwindling and all of a sudden he realized, I've got to change myself if I'm going to succeed as a pastor. And he said every time he got in the car with somebody, he would say, do you mind if we listen to a message? And he'd pull out a CD from his pocket. He started building himself up in the Word every opportunity he had. What would happen if you did this? So if you were to set a goal for 21 days, guess what? You already started today, so check that day off and start tomorrow, right? So the secret of your future is in your daily routine. My next point, we got a decision, a routine, and then the I stands for an investment. If you want to go to the next level, you want the end of this year to be different than last year, it requires an investment. And what I mean by that is an investment in you. You know, Warren Buffett, he's the fourth wealthiest man in the world, and of course he's known for his investments, right? He actually said in an interview, the best investment you will ever make is in yourself. He said it pays 1,000 to 1. In fact, he said when he first got started, he was so insecure, he couldn't even look people in the eyes to talk to them. And he said, I took a $100 bill out of my pocket, which was all I had, and I bought a course, a Dale Carnegie course. And he said that was the best investment I ever made was in myself. So you have to learn to make an investment in you, in your growth. You know, Jim Rohn, I mentioned him earlier, is one of the greatest motivational speakers. Well, he said when he was first learning about success, he said he had pennies in his pocket, he was living paycheck to paycheck, he had nothing in the bank, he was full of excuses. You know, he was blaming the economy on everything and blaming the government. And finally, he met this real wealthy man that was really nice and just started teaching him about success. And this real wealthy man said to him, he said, Jim, what you have at this moment in your life, you have attracted by the person you've become. He said, if you don't have much, perhaps you haven't become much. Now that's harsh, isn't it? So Jim said he was extremely offended and it really hurt his feelings. And he said he held up his paycheck to that wealthy man and he said, you don't understand. He said, this is all they pay. His mentor said, no, this is all they pay you. He said, they pay others more. This is what they pay you. And then he went on to say, he said, in fact, don't they pay others 5 times this amount in your company? And Jim said, yes. He said, if you were to qualify for 5 times this amount, wouldn't your paycheck be 5 times this amount? And Jim said, yes. He said, listen to this. Success is something you attract by the person you become. He said, if you want more, become more. Now, listen to this. This is a statement that I believe can change your life, and I can say this is exactly what happened in my life. This is what he said. He said, learn to work harder on yourself than you do on your job. He said, if you work hard on your job, you'll make a living. If you work hard on yourself, you can make a fortune. You want me to repeat that? He said, learn to work harder on yourself than you do on your job. If you work hard on your job, you'll make a living. If you work hard on yourself, you can make a fortune. Now, let me explain that. You know, I was sharing in the first service how when I graduated from college, I think one of the dumbest things I ever said was I made this announcement to my family. I said, I will never study again. And I was proud, as if I paid my dues. I will never pick up another book again. But the sad thing is, I didn't just make that announcement. I actually backed up my dumb promise for 11 years of my life. So for 11 years, I worked hard on my job. I worked weekends if I needed to. I was a ghostwriter. I wrote over 25 books for my dad and for other authors. I worked nights if I had to meet deadlines. I worked hard on my job. But at the same time, I lived paycheck to paycheck. I paid my car note every month, paid my credit cards every month. I had nothing in savings, nothing in investments. I drove to work, listened to the radio. I'd drive home, listen to the radio. I'd go home, turn on the TV for hours, go to bed, and start over. 11 years. That's a long time. The next 11 years, when all of a sudden I made a decision to just push play, 2002, the next 11 years, my income more than tripled. I went from ghostwriting books to authoring books. I went from attending conferences to speaking at conferences. I went from watching TV for hours to co-hosting a TV show. What happened? I went to work harder on myself than I did on my job, and everything began to grow. What would happen? You know, doesn't the Bible say to whom much is given, much is required? Or you could say much is required in order for much to be given. But these are things that we can do, can't we? I mean, we got to go to work or we got to get ready. You know, if you were to just push play while you're doing dishes, just in that 10 minutes, your faith would be stronger. You'd think differently. If you said, every time I fold the laundry, I'm going to push play. Every time I take a moment to clean up the house, I'm going to push play. On my way to work, I'm going to push play. Or if you just said, I'm going to set the alarm on my phone, this is what I would do because I did not enjoy reading. In fact, the only books I ever read for pleasure were the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleader Manual and the life story of Mary Lou Retton, the gymnast, Olympic gymnast. And so I didn't enjoy reading. So I remember I set the alarm on my phone for 20 minutes and I made myself read. And you might say, well, Terry, 20 minutes isn't going to help me. I got a long way to go. Do you know 20 minutes over a course of a month is 10 hours? Of investing in yourself, growing yourself. And I don't think like that girl did 11 years ago. I don't think like her at all. So what would happen if you made an investment in yourself this year? I'm convinced you'd go to a whole new level. In fact, next Friday night, I'm hosting a success conference in Dallas. And in the first service and last night, we gave away a ticket. Tickets are $200 for the general admission and $400 for the platinum. It's next Friday night, and my guest is Dr. Dave Martin. He's the number one Christian success coach. But I'm going to be teaching how to step out of your comfort zone. Some people have been asking me, how do you start a business? How do you start a ministry? People are asking me, how do you develop discipline in your routine? And so I'm going to be teaching stuff like that. But I would love to give someone a ticket. If you feel like God's telling you that's something that you can do, something that you need to do, I just found out it's a six-hour drive to Dallas, right? Could you imagine 6 hours of listening all the way to Dallas, all the way back? If you feel like that's you, we want to give you a ticket. You can either come get it right now. You want this sweet lady right here. All right. That's awesome. Well, we're in agreement with you that your life is going to the next level. And if anybody else wants to sign up for the conference today, we're taking $100 off admission for you coming out today, and you can sign up in the back. That's next Friday, and I can't wait to give you a hug. Thank you for coming. But that's just part of investing in yourself, isn't it? And I remember the first time I went online to Joyce Meyer's website, and I bought $60 worth of product. And I was going, I cannot believe I just spent that much money. But then it dawned on me. This is my future I'm talking about. But now the most valuable things in my home, it's my library. It's all the books I've invested in, the CDs I've listened to. So you will never regret investing in yourself. You ready for the V? The V stands for vision. My most favorite thing to talk about. Vision. You know, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish, right? But then the Bible also says in Habakkuk 2:2, that we have to write the vision and make it plain on paper. Do y'all remember, well, I'm passionate about teaching people how to not only have a vision, but design a vision board and get pictures and images of what you're believing God for. You know, for years, I would just get out a piece of paper on New Year's Day and I'd write my goals. I'd write save money, lose weight, get closer to God, clean house, read more. Well, do you know that vague goals produce vague results? I mean, how do you save money? If it just says save money, okay, here's $5, there you save money. Check it off. No, you have to be specific about it, right? And so I started getting serious about my dreams and goals. And I remember I made a vision board. I put it in my office. And I just dreamed as big as I could. I put pictures of me and John Maxwell, totally fake and superimposed, me and John Maxwell. And I said, I'm going to speak at events with John Maxwell. And then I put money goals, financial goals. I put a picture of me. I went to Barnes & Noble. I posed under the bestseller sign. And I said, my books are sold in Barnes & Noble. And then I put pictures of different companies I wanted to speak for, like Amway and Arbonne and, you know, different companies. I put a picture of the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders on there. And My husband thought I was going to audition. I was like, no, I'm 46. I'm past that. But I said, I want to speak. I want to minister to the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. So I put that picture up there. Do you know every single thing I just told you has happened? Everything. Why? Because when the vision is clear, the results will appear. When the vision is clear, the results will appear. You know, I remember when I first started my women's conference called Icing, I just had a vision for it. I mean, I hadn't done anything. I just had this idea. And remember, everything starts in here before it ever shows up out here, right? God gave you the ability to dream and to think and to imagine. And so I met with one of the guys that works with me, and I said, I have a vision to start a women's conference called Icing. And I said, but I don't see 50 people in a little room. I see 20,000 in a coliseum. So I said, I need a picture of me preaching to thousands of people to show my team what my vision is. He said, well, Terry, there's only one problem. You've never preached to thousands of people. I said, well, can we make something up? So he went to the Joyce Meyer conference, and he printed out this picture of Joyce's conference, but he took little Joyce off the stage, and he put little Terry, and then he put my head on top of Joyce's body, so I'm wearing her shirt on the big screen, and then he put Icing in the background. So he printed this out, and we just laughed and thought this was so cute, you know, the little Terry, little Joyce. And we made copies, we gave it to my team members, and I said, I want you to see what I see on the inside. This is where we're headed. Of course, everybody laughed and thought it was so cute. But think about it. This picture, this is actually it in smaller form. This hangs on my vision board. And my desk faces my vision board. So every day when I look up, I see my vision, right? Well, the more you look at that, you stop laughing. I'm not just cracking up every time I see this picture. Well, then the more you look at it, it actually looks kind of real. You kind of forget that it's a fake picture. Well, see, here's a principle from the Word of God. Your life moves toward the dominating images you keep before your eyes. This is a fake picture of me preaching to thousands, right? This is a real picture of me preaching to thousands. Your life moves toward the dominating images you keep before your eyes. So that's why I'm passionate about teaching people to not only have a dream, have a vision, but take the time to write it down. When you add pictures to your dream, it just causes your desire to go to a whole new level. So if you're believing God to pay off your car, get a picture of that car. Find out, call the bank tomorrow and find out what the payoff is. Write that down clearly and keep it before your eyes. You're believing God to save $5,000. Get a picture of money. Write that on there. And what I like to do when I have financial goals, I like to break it down. Like I'll say 5,000, 4,900, 4,800, 4,700, 4,600. I'll go all the way down to 100. And I just keep marking through all the way. It just keeps you motivated when you see your progress, right? So write the vision, make it plain. Of course, this isn't just for things. I mean, do y'all remember the story of Miss Dodie Osteen? How she was healed of cancer? This is Joel Osteen's mom. And do you remember back when she was diagnosed with cancer, she said that when she looked in the mirror, she saw a picture of death. She said her body was weak and frail and deteriorating. And she said, I knew I've got to change what I see if I'm going to get victory over cancer. So she said she went through the family photo albums and put pictures of her up when she was healthy and full of life. She put them all over her bathroom mirror. Then she put them all over the refrigerator. She said, I filled every picture frame in the house with pictures of me when I was healthy. She said, I had to surround myself with what could be, not what was. That's what you're doing. You're surrounding yourself with what can be. This is your faith on a vision board. Surround yourself with what can be. And of course, y'all know the story. God completely healed her of cancer. So I'm challenging you to get a vision, write it down, and keep it before your eyes. And my last point, what's it going to take for you to achieve your dreams? The E stands for everything. It's going to take everything, everything you've got. You know, I was sharing in the first service how I never want to give an impression that I just come out here with some adorable shoes, make a vision board. I mean, they are cute, don't you think? Make a vision board, and my dreams just happen. You literally have to fight for your dreams. And you know, Keith Moore said, don't ever, 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 under any circumstance, at any time, ever, 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 feel sorry for yourself. because you never know what people are going through to get to where they've got, right? You never know the battles they're facing behind the scene with nobody watching. In fact, I was telling the first service how just in 2014, so about a year and a half ago, I resigned my position as CEO for Jerry Savelle Ministries. I'd done that for 11 years, loved my job, loved serving my dad, was passionate about it. But God began to put it on my heart that it was time to launch out into my own ministry and that, you know, that what he called me to do was bigger than what I was doing. And so I said, well, Lord, I love serving my dad. Would you just give me like 57 confirmations, you know, give or take a few? Well, the Lord gave me all these confirmations, and so I knew it was time to go. But in the natural, that was the dumbest thing in the world, to give up all that security, all that comfort, nice salary. I had a full staff working with me, and let's move to Dallas, Texas, and start from scratch. I'm talking everything from we need paper, we need pens, we need a desk. Start from scratch a year and a half ago. Well, you would think once you make your little vision board and you get serious about it, that God just causes things to happen, right? Well, remember that story in the Bible where Jesus and the disciples were going to the other side and then all hell came against them, all the storms came? That's exactly what happened to me. Everything from I was diagnosed with skin cancer, I had to have surgery all the way down my face, my back, and my entire chest was covered in skin cancer. I had to take chemo cream for my chest. I couldn't even look in the mirror without wanting to throw up because it looked like raw hamburger meat. And I would just look in the mirror and say, I am not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. And I believe my skin is more beautiful now than it was before. And I would just speak the word of God. Not only that, I had to back up my faith every day because I made a decision. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. But I had to keep my routine. In fact, Joel Osteen became my mentor during that time because he's a man of hope, right? And I needed hope more than anything. But then I had to keep investing in myself, keep going to conferences, keep getting new resources, keep my vision before my eyes. Why? Because whatever you keep before your eyes will eventually show up in your life. And then, of course, give it everything I've got. And long story short, I mean, we had one trial after another. I had no idea that just getting through that trial to get to the other side, that God would turn every single situation around and that our ministry would literally double in size by the end of that year. And I'm totally healed of skin cancer. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to tell you, Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, a dream comes about with much business and painful effort. But here's the good news. My favorite preacher, Jerry Savelle, he says this, when you feel like giving up the most, that's always an indication your breakthrough is just about to happen. Hang on to those words. That's something you need to write down and keep it before your eyes, don't you? When you feel like giving up the most, that's always an indication your breakthrough is just about to happen. Did y'all receive that? Amen. You got drive in your life? Do you believe that God's speaking to you to get a little more serious about things and to maybe develop some new disciplines and habits and routines? Yes. I would say just start with that one, just push play. Are we going to do it?
Yes.
And y'all got it?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to mention real quick before we close out, I brought this, our vision board kit. I think we have just a few of these left. How many, Lucy? We have about four of these left. This is the entire kit. I call this the Conquer Procrastination Kit. It has my brand new book, Dream It, Pen It, Live It, where I talk about how to get serious about your dreams and goals. Don't make every single dream a massive, I have $500,000, I have a house on the Pacific Ocean, and I've got a Grammy Award. That's great. Do that. But then let's learn to set smaller goals so you stay motivated. So I'll teach you how to set goals. I've got a workbook in here, 4 hours of audio teaching. You can push play while you're driving. I've got a bulletin board, a cork board in here. I even put push pins. And my favorite motivational phrases for you to put all over your board. So I call this the Conquer Procrastination Kit. There's no excuse to actually make it today, right? This is $100 if you wait and get it on our website. If you get it today, it's $75. And hopefully that's a blessing. You're getting the audios for free. Lucy said we only have four left. If we run out, we will honor that price and we'll ship it to you tomorrow as soon as we get to the office. So hopefully that's a blessing. And then I've also got this Vision 101, Like I said in the first service, this is for the person who desires discipline in your life. This is a one-year coaching program. There's 12 books, 12 CDs in here on 12 different topics. One's all about fitness, how to get discipline in the area of fitness. One's all about getting organized, cleaning up your house and your car and your purse and your garage and taking care of the little things so we'll be ruler over many things. You know, they say the way you do anything is the way you do everything. If your bed is always half made, perhaps your book is always half written. So when we start conquering procrastination in the small areas, it leads to the bigger areas, right? So anyway, this is 12 different teachings, and this is the 1 year so that next year at this time, you're not where you are today. If you're interested in this and you feel like God's telling you this is your time to get more disciplined, this is normally $330 on the website. If you get it today, it's $199. So hopefully that's a blessing. We like to really reduce things when we get to be with you in person. So $199 if you get it today. And of course, that's an investment. And real quick, if you are interested in getting our magazine, this is absolutely free. Every month I'll send you a letter or an email just to keep you motivated so that you're not excited this time of year. It's January, we're pumped up. But I mean, in September, I'm going to show up in your mailbox in a real soft-spoken way and say, don't you even think about giving up on your dream. If that's something you want to connect with us on, raise your hand. And this is absolutely free. I'll send you an email. The ushers are going to pass out these little cards. And if you'll fill it out, we'll take it back and get you signed up immediately. So keep your hands up. Ushers are passing these out. So you can let me know if you want the actual physical letter or if you want an email. And then you'll get the little magazine called The Routine. So if that's something you want, keep your hand up and they'll pass those out. It's an honor for me to get to speak into your life and to just keep you motivated. I don't want this to be a one-time thing. I want you to write me and say, Terry, I paid off my debts. Or Terry, I got my realtor's license. Or I got my pilot's license. Whatever it is, that dream that God's put in your heart, that's what I want to help you achieve. And the reason why is because one day we're going to stand before God and he's going to hold us accountable for the dreams he put in our hearts, right? So, are we almost finished with that? Well, you know, I wanted to close out, you know, just telling you something. I was thinking about this earlier before I came up here, how I have the honor and the privilege to get to speak at success conferences. And a lot of times it's in a setting where we're not allowed to talk about the Lord. I have to be real creative. They tell me about what I say. But then sometimes on Sunday morning at these success conferences, I get to talk about the Lord and tell them everything I just told you came straight from the Word of God. And I would never, ever, ever want to try to be successful without the help of God. I can't even fathom trying to achieve these dreams without God on my side. But you know, have you ever watched a professional football game and you see that little referee in the black and white striped shirt and he might be like 150 pounds and he comes up against that 350 pound linebacker and he'll blow the whistle and that 350 pound linebacker will stop? Well, you think, what kind of power does that little man with the black and white striped shirt have over this 350 pound linebacker? Well, the thing is, that linebacker knows as soon as that man blows the whistle, the entire NFL is backing him up. Well, do you know, when you call on the name of Jesus, you now have all of heaven backing you up. You're not trying to achieve your goals in your own strength and your own power. You now have Almighty God, you have Jesus, you have the angels now coming to your aid to help you achieve your goals. So I want all of you to just bow your heads for just a moment. Let's close our eyes. And if you feel like God's speaking to you today, that it's time to call on heaven, it's time to make Jesus the Lord of your life and stop trying to be successful, stop trying to make it on your own, you need the power of God coming to your support to help you. I want you to lift your hand right now, unashamedly lift your hand. I see hands going up all over the place. Today is your defining moment to say, God, I can't do it on my own. Keep lifting your hands. I see them go up all over the place. Okay, I want all of you to just repeat this prayer of salvation with me. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross I declare you're the Son of God. I ask you to come into my heart. And I make you my Lord and Savior. And from this day on, I'm calling on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You believe it? All right. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you so much. It's been a privilege. Hope.